The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
I would say at this point, just about everybody's been in an Uber, right? I feel fairly safe in saying that a lot of people have jumped in an Uber. They understand how the whole thing works, have the app, pay somebody for them to come pick you up in their car, pay them, leave a tip, the whole thing.
I don't want to distract from our main topic here, but Uber relates a new thing where you can see how many 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1 star ratings you got.
Oh, really?
And I checked it. And I've ridden in Ubers over 500 times.
Holy cow.
Which was a number that I wasn't quite prepared to see. I'm sure my parents are excited that that means that's a lot of responsible decision making.
That just means you're responsible, Joshy.
But yeah, that's a lot.
I don't ride
500?
Wow.
Yeah, I have like 419 five-star ratings.
Oh, my goodness.
16 one-star ratings, which I imagine go back to driving around some... let's compare them to... Brett friends who behave at that type of level, and you know, they're one star.
Well, I can say this. We now have to use my phone and my app because someone else's phone in the family doesn't have the most favorable rating. That's where we're at right now. Oof. I don't want to mention any names.
No, we're not going to mention
any name. But as of late, we've been using the app on my phone. Who has a perfect 5-star rating?
Well, because people will, in terms of the Uber app, like if you have a less than favorable rating, people will decline your ride.
I'm well aware.
Oh, yeah.
Well aware.
I could not tell you. Maybe I'll look during the break here, Joshy, because I've gotten to the point where I use Uber maybe once or twice a year at this point.
Oh, wow.
When I was younger and single, yes, Uber was a lot, you know, used it a lot more than I do now. But like if I've got like some event downtown and I know I'm going to be there for a while, like I just don't go downtown that often, right? Like I'm not going out to the bars the way I used to. So I don't need the app anymore. But the reason why Uber is important to this conversation is because if you've used Uber, you're also familiar with surge pricing. And what that means, if you're not familiar with Uber, is during high traffic times, so for Milwaukee, that would really be bar close, you know, Friday at 2 o'clock, Saturday at 2:30, you know, the Uber is probably going to cost more because the demand for Ubers is high. So then you end up having to pay more. Well, Wendy's, the fast food chain, is deciding to apply this to their food. That's right. They announced yesterday that they are going to introduce surge pricing. They're calling it dynamic pricing to allow, quote, to allow Wendy's to be competitive and flexible with pricing, motivate customers to visit, and provide them with the food they love at a great value. But this means that if they're busy, like at lunchtime, and there's a line, not only do I now have to wait in said line, but now when I get to order my food and go to the window, I'm going to pay more? Like, that's what this means. Like, how is this happening? How is this a good idea to introduce surge pricing to your fast food menu? I feel that regular restaurants do, like, the opposite of this. Do they not?
Yes, sure.
With lunch specials? Like a lunch special to intrigue, to try to get myself to become busy. I've got lower prices during lunch to like draw you in. And now Wendy's is doing the opposite of that, saying, oh, hey, when you're busy, you're going to have to pay more for your Baconator.
That's a horrible idea. I don't get it because, number one, if I knew a restaurant was busy, fast food, I don't care what restaurant, I'm going somewhere else.
100%.
Right. If the drive-thru is going to take 20 minutes and then you tag surge pricing on top of that, I could tell you this. I may never go to Wendy's again. This is so dumb.
I couldn't tell you the last time I went to Wendy's to begin with. But I mean, would it make you more likely if it's like, let's say you got busy, I mean, not necessarily you, Chewy, so you have to imagine somebody being busy and skipping, you know, not being able to make lunch at a regular time.
Getting
so
it's busy, like, sounds a little weird. Like getting in the fast food line? Okay.
I mean, you know, sometimes.
Sure, it's happening.
Yeah. Kids are kids. You know, so you eat, you know, 2:30. Presumably, this would also mean that during slow times, the price would be, you know, a little bit lower. So maybe around 2:30, 3 o'clock. Maybe you can get a bit of a deal on that Dave's Classic single or whatever you want to get at Wendy's.
Did they set the surge price, Gabe, or is it just TBD?
It's TBD. So they did not say how much, like, you know, how much it's going to be. And I'm sure it's going to vary because, like, prices for any fast food restaurant vary, right? Like, if you go to, you know, if you're in Manhattan, you know, if you're in Times Square, yeah. I'm sure the Big Mac, the Baconator, the Whopper, whatever you're getting is going to cost more than if you went to any of those restaurants in Dodge County where I grew up.
That's the dumbest. I mean, the longest I wait in line down here, and it's actually worth it, and their system is very, very good, is Culver's.
Yeah, so that's about the only fast food place I go to anymore.
I will wait the longest at Culver's just because I know they're making it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting it out timely. They have a great system and the cycles.
What's great now, and I think the pandemic kind of, I don't know if it forced them to do this or if they just decided to do it, but they've got the two, wherever you go with Culver's, they have two lines.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of,
it's,
you
like Chick-fil-A as well.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A kind of, solid, yes. Chick-fil-A very solid.
It expedites the entire process.
And at Culver's, you can order ahead. So if you're going to pick it up, you could just order, show up there. It's great.
I've done that before, too.
Mm-hmm. It's my hottie plan.
That's a great idea.
What I'm struggling with here is we see a lot of times companies, to get their name out in public, they like do some insane promotion or get themselves in, you know, some weird collab. But I can't figure out how this would benefit Wendy's because, like, it's a known brand.
Yep.
And now people are going, what the hell? I'm not paying more for lunch because you're busy. So, like, I feel like we're getting tricked. I just can't figure out how we're getting tricked.
What the payoff is?
What is happening? Well, because
the crazy part to me is, so say, let's say you're doing this. Like, I do not know. Outside of the one guy who eats two Big Macs a day that was featured in that Super Size Me documentary, and I believe that man lives in Wisconsin.
He's a Wisconsinite. Uh-huh.
But outside of that guy, I do not know anyone, well, I guess other than Jen, because Jen's pretty loyal to her Whopper. But outside of those two people, I don't know of anybody who's like loyal to a fast food brand, and they're going out of their way to go to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so outside of those three, so Jen, Homer, and the guy from the Super Size Me documentary, those are the three that remain loyal to whatever brand.
But what's the first thing you do when you pull up the Uber app and see the surge and be like, what? That much? What's the first thing you do?
Check Lyft.
I go right to Lyft.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, 100%.
Right? I go right to Lyft.
So that's the point I'm making here, Chew.
Yeah.
But I do not know of a single Wendy's that is like a standalone Wendy's where there's not another fast food joint next door, around the corner.
Yeah.
Like the most isolated one I can think of is the one that's by our old office up on Capitol Drive, but Culver's is less than a mile away down the road, right? Most fast food places end up building because there's a lot of other options, just like gas stations off the highway. You want all those options. Like, very rarely is Wendy's going to be your only option. So if you pull up and you see, oh, there's a line, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And now on top of not wanting to wait for your Baconator, your cup of chili or whatever you're getting from Wendy's, oh, now I have to pay more? I'm definitely going to the other fast food place, whether that's Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, Burger King, what have you. Like, this is insane to me.
Are they affiliated with another fast food?
I looked that up. It appears Wendy's is a standalone. They are not under the umbrella of like some, because there's a few of those where there's like a umbrella company.
Yeah.
Wendy's seems to be on its own.
Taco Bell, Pizza Hut.
Mm-hmm.
Those
Carl's
combos.
Carl's Jr., Hardee's.
Yes.
Yes.
Jack in the Crack. Are they with anyone?
For those of you Jack playing the home game, that would be Jack in the Box. Which, I'm not going to get into that.
That sourdough burger at 2:30 in the morning, are you kidding me? Ain't no surge there.
But it's so crazy to me And here's the thing. Like, I'm willing to pay a little bit more for the quality food at a place like Culver's, right?
Yes.
Because, again,
yes.
You know it's fresh and all those different things. But if they made that change, like, oh, hey, we're making everything fresh, we're making it all to order, you know, the way that Culver's does, okay, then charge me a little bit more, Wendy's. But I don't want to pay, depending upon the time of day, for the Baconator. Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
This feels like they got Wendy's got a little big, too big for their britches.
Yeah, and that's the other thing.
This is a move like a Starbucks or a McDonald's would have to make to be the trailblazer.
I was about to say, 100%. This feels like, honestly, this feels like McDermott going out and saying it's not a matter of if but when. Like, okay, right, let's calm down, Buffalo. Like, maybe get to a Super Bowl first. Like, what are you, third at best behind Burger King and McDonald's? Like, if McDonald's made this move, I would have to almost respect it a little bit because they're the kings. They're on top. Like, for Wendy's to do this? Are you kidding me? You got Reggie Miller in your ads.
Is there a better chance? Is there a better chance that this goes away at Wendy's or other fast food restaurants follow?
I'd like to say go away, but if it has any little bit of success, other restaurants are going to follow because anybody's going to be, if it makes Wendy's more of a profit, everybody else is going to follow this. That's the problem.
Yeah.
If they end up making, like, if everybody else starts doing it because they think they can make more profit, then we, the consumer, ends up getting screwed.
So think of Uber and their surge pricing that is based on there not being enough cars.
Correct.
And being a high amount of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Is the assumption here doesn't make sense because that would imply that people are paying surge pricing because there's not enough other options. So you can go to even like the fast casuals. You could run into a Qdoba. Mm-hmm. You could run into name the thing and be out in a similar amount of time.
That's the thing. Like if everybody else does this, Chew, there's going to be some other place that goes, you know what, we're not going to do this. Because then more people will go there because they know there's a set price.
It makes more sense to say, okay, we're going to have surge pricing because we're going to stay open till 4 in the morning.
Yeah, I could understand that. Surge pricing.
Then that I would get.
Yeah, surge pricing after 2 a.m.
We're super busy. We're going to charge you more money because we need more profit. It just doesn't make sense.
No, I'm 100% there with you. And I think this ends up hurting Wendy's more than it ends up helping.
I agree.
Chewy, I think, has some sort of power rankings off of this.
We do.
Okay. I don't know what the power rankings are. He decided to find a list on his own. We'll see if he can use the Google machine correctly. Coming up next when we do power rankings here on Gen Game and Chewy. But first, I want to tell you about my friends at Mantality, because it doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. And that's what I found out. In my mid-30s, my testosterone levels were low. I thought I was getting more tired throughout the course of the day because, I'm getting older, waking up earlier in the morning, just don't have that energy. Well, now it turns out my testosterone levels are low. I found out because I went to Mantality, went through their process, talked with their team, had a blood panel done. The blood panel, it feels more scary than it is. It takes like a minute to complete. They send it into a lab. Lab results come back, and they'll tell you if your testosterone levels are low. If they are, you can then work with Mantality on a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. It's not one size fits all. They want to make sure that your levels are where they need to be specifically for you. So go to their website, lowtusa.com. Mantality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Certainly has helped me out, and that's why I've got the energy to do all of the different things that I do throughout the course of my day. Learn more about Mantality, lowtusa.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. Dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Alright. It's a huge day, which means one thing. We got some things to power rank. During the NFL season, we like to look at the NFL power rankings, but who knows where the mind of the big guy is going to take us today on our power rankings.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night? Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
Righty, in honor of Wendy's bad decision to go with surge pricing during the busy times of the day, this list is from the website Eat This, Not That. And we are power ranking the 10 best fast food burgers in America. Okay?
Okay. So with me and Josh are guessing, said, right? We don't have to do this in order like we do the NFL, right? We just say one and it's got to be there.
Just throw it out.
All right. I am going to say the Whopper is in the top 10.
The Whopper is, hang on. Hang on. I should have probably wrote these down, but I didn't. And the Whopper is not in the top 10.
Oh, wow. Huge upset.
Now, I'm going to give you number 10 because I don't know if you guys know this place. Every other place you should know.
Okay.
Number 10 is Freddy's Original Double. Have you ever heard of Freddy's?
No.
Okay. That's why I gave it to you.
I'm going
to
jump out here and take an easy one. Okay. I'm just going to go the Culver's Butterburger.
Well, I mean, if Culver's isn't on this list,
then yeah, it doesn't.
Then we're throwing
the Culver's Butterburger is number 4 on the list. I think that's a little low.
I will say it seems that a lot of people love this burger. I will say the In-N-Out Burger,
which you claim is overrated.
It's a little overrated because the problem is it was the same thing when I had first time I had Chick-fil-A. Because Chick-fil-A was like a southern thing before it really started migrating north. And the first time I had it, by the time I had it, if the chicken sandwich didn't change my life, it was overhyped. Same thing, because In-N-Out is out west. When my sister used to live out there, the first time I had it, like, it's a good burger. Mm-hmm. But the way that everybody just, like, raves about it, it's like, it's good, but it's
Josh,
not,
you
like,
ever
fantastic.
Had it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I like it, because it's perfectly made every time. That's what I like. I don't like slop. You know, I like it to look just like the commercial. So, Gabe,
so you hate every burger.
In-N-Out Burger, the animal style double-double, is number 7.
Okay.
Which I think is a little low as well. I would have had that higher. I'm a big fan of In-N-Out.
I'm going to go with another just classic, should be easy one. I don't know if I should go Big Mac or Quarter Pounder, but I'm going Quarter Pounder from McDonald's.
The McDonald's Quarter Pounder is... you're saying Quarter Pounder.
So it's Big Mac.
Oh, you're right. Okay. That is number 1.
Quarter Pounder. QPC is number 1.
QPC is number 1. Well, QPC, is that fair?
I'm shocked that it's number 1. A little surprised that that's number 1, especially because like the Big Mac's their thing.
I think the Quarter Pounder is better than the Big Mac.
I would agree.
Yeah.
And especially, like, I feel most fast food at this point is consumed in the car anyway.
Yeah.
You can't eat a Big Mac in a car. There's just too much going on. You get lettuce everywhere. It's not good for anybody.
But I'm going to say this as well. I think the Whopper is better than the QPC.
Yeah, I'm surprised the
I'm
Whopper...
I'm more about flame broiled.
Yeah,
than
I'm surprised the Whopper did not make anywhere in the top 10.
Let me see where the Whopper... No, they only go to 10. Sorry.
All right, that's fine.
All right.
I'm going to say the Big Mac's on there somewhere, too, because the Big Mac is original.
Big Mac not on there.
Wow.
The sauce is overrated.
Sure.
Been around way too long.
Sure, but again, it's you go to McDonald's, you get a number 1. You know, I figured the number 1 at McDonald's would somehow end up on the list.
I mean, there is one on this list that has no business being on this list, and you all know it. I'll just throw that out there as a little hint as well. I'm shocked that it's on the list.
Is it like White Castle?
White Castle is number 9.
Yeah. That's like a nostalgia classic play.
Have you ever had it?
I have.
I've never had White Castle. All I've heard is people complain about how bad they are.
Yeah, I've heard of gastrointestinal issues.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I tie them to.
Okay, so we got 1 QPC, 4 Culver's Butterburger, 7 In-N-Out, and we got White Castle at 9.
All right, so now we've got to, I think, to kind of get to some of the more obscure ones that are out there. So is there some sort of Hardee's burger that's in this top 10? I don't know if it's like their Texas Frisco burger. I'm not familiar with the Hardee's menu. I just know that they, you know, I see the commercials from time to time.
Gabe, the Hardee slash Carl Jr. Superstar with cheese is number three.
Okay.
Is that good?
I don't know. So when I was growing up, like, I don't want to say we had Hardee's all the time, but Hardee's was the only fast food restaurant in Horicon. It's no longer there. So we used to have Hardee's, you know, when I was a kid, and at some point before I was in high school, like, the whole building got torn down.
Yeah, we had one right next to the stadium that I would stop at sometimes for breakfast before they used to feed the players, and it was not good.
Does this list include, and I'm getting risky here, but let's say Shake Shack, is that fast food?
That's a good pull.
Yeah, I mean, I think Shake Shack is the same thing as Culver's.
Yeah, so
because Shake Shack is number six. Is it good? I hear people rave about Shake Shack.
Shake Shack is really good. I enjoy it. It's a little pricey.
Yeah, I'd put it on a similar plane in like quality to an In-N-Out. Like,
yeah,
it's good. Not going to change your life, but enjoyable.
No, it's a solid burger. Again, for me, it's a little pricey. You walk into a Shake Shack and you end up paying like $25 for a burger, fries, and a drink.
But let me tell you this: there is nothing better than a burger and a chocolate shake.
Oh yeah.
That is, if I want to be naughty,
Burger and a chocolate shake.
Burger and a chocolate shake, and then a nap.
I mean, I'm just going to tell you this. I mean, it's a bit of a free advertisement, but whatever. The Dairyland here, I know it's too early. Whenever you're here in the 3rd Street Market Hall,
yeah,
it's too early and it's not open. But if you ever get a chance, like their burger, their shakes.
Is it good?
Pretty good. I'm a fan.
Me and Ange will always go on a Sunday or something when we're bored. We're like, you know what? Let's try a new place that's got great reviews for a burger.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's closer to a fast food burger than like a sit-down
that's
restaurant
fine.
Burger. But
that's fine.
And it's kind of far for you guys out west to just come all the way downtown for that. But I enjoy their burger.
You know what else is good, Gabe, on a Sunday?
What's that?
A burger and a glass of Chardonnay. All right, keep it going. There's a few more on here that you guys should know.
Did Shake Shack. I mean, we hate to do it, but there's got to be a Wendy's burger on there. I don't know if it's their Dave's Classic Double. I don't know if it's the Baconator. I'm going to lean towards probably the Baconator, their more popular one.
I haven't an idea.
Number two, Gabe. The Baconator is disgusting. Number two. That looks like a heart attack between two buns.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you get the triple, get like a triple with all that bacon.
No, that looks good.
What about Five Guys?
Oh, Five Guys. What about Five Guys?
Five Guys is number five. The Five Guys cheeseburger. The only thing I don't like about Five Guys, and I love Five Guys, the fries.
Yeah.
I don't want the skin on the fries.
It's fair.
Are you with me or no?
I haven't had Five Guys in over a decade.
Yeah.
All right, let me set the list here. Number one,
yep.
QPC. Two, Wendy's Baconator. Three, Hardee's. Four, Culver's Butterburger. Five Guys. Six, Shake Shack. Seven, In-N-Out. Nine, White Castle, which is, I don't know why that's on there. And 10 is Freddy's Burger. So we're just missing.
We got one. We're missing one at number eight.
Number eight.
I'm trying to think of other restaurants we've skipped.
There's one chain that.
Is it a Southern chain?
Yes.
I think it's like, is it West
Whataburger?
Coast? Yeah.
Whataburger, double meat Whataburger.
I don't like that name.
The double meat?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know who I think owns
Hey, give me a double meat.
You know who I think owns a bunch of them is J.J. Watt. I thought he was a big investor.
Oh, I mean, I know Whataburger's big down in Texas.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know that is because my freshman year at Platteville, we did our spring break baseball trip down in the Dallas area.
Yeah.
It's the first and only time I've had Whataburger. It was pretty good.
You like it?
Yeah.
The picture doesn't look that flattering.
Let's be honest.
On the website.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
A lot of the burgers, once you get them from said fast food restaurant, they don't look great. I know you said, I want to see it look like it does in the commercial. None of them look like they do in the commercial.
You're probably right. Culver's looks solid.
Oh, yeah. Culver's, I would say, yeah. And maybe because it's freshly
made. In-N-Out always looks solid. I don't know.
I also think some burgers suffer from the handling from the cook to the person serving it to in your car to when you grab it out of the bag.
Yep.
And then next thing you know, it's sliding all over.
Man, I'm hungry for a burger now.
I could crush one right now.
A little 8:30 a.m. cheeseburger.
Yeah, what the hell?
Why not? It's a Tuesday. We can do whatever we want. Maybe you're not in the mood for a burger. Maybe you're in the mood for a pizza, but maybe not right now. You want to make sure you load up on Palermo's Pizza in your freezer, and you can find it in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's has been doing this for over 60 years, so they know what they're doing. And one of my favorite things about Palermo's is the number of different things that they have under their umbrella, because they have Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, from the hit Netflix series Stranger Things, Screamin' Sicilian. So many different slices for so many different appetites. Maybe you're looking for something more artisanal. Well, you can go get an urban pie and some of the different crusts that they have there. They have a cauliflower crust, a sweet potato crust. Maybe you're looking for something just kind of classic in terms of pizza. That's where Connie's comes in. Or if you're looking for that great quality, Screamin' Sicilian, so many different brands just under Screamin' Sicilian. They are going to have an appetite, or they're going to have a slice for your appetite, for your family's appetite, no matter what you're looking for. So again, find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's, it's Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presence out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what makes me happy? My wife being happy. That's why I go to the jewelry center. Let's be honest, most guys don't have a clue when it comes to buying jewelry. Gabe's one of the smart ones. He got the engagement ring and the wedding bands from the jewelry center for his wedding in 2022. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry like my championship ring. When it needs work, I know where I'll be taking it to the jewelry center. They have three locations to stop into: Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can look through all the many styles of diamonds and other fine cuts online at shoptjc.com. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The jewelry center will make it happen. Brookfield, Greenfield, and Burlington, and online at shoptjc.com.
Sure, there's going to be plenty of content around this, because Brian Gutekunst, speaking not once but twice, spoke with the local Green Bay Packers press corps for about 45 minutes. Started talking, you know, at 7:45 local time. Just wrapped up talking with the local reporters, and then he's going to be on the podium later today as well in Indianapolis for the NFL Draft Combine. And Matt Schneidman tweeting out a couple of things about that. Some two quotes that he says Gutekunst said: around here, we've never hung banners for division championships. It's not about that. Does the Packers GM think they can win a Super Bowl next season? I do. I do.
I like it.
Was that a shot at the Lions?
What, not hanging banners?
Yeah.
We've never hung banners.
Yeah,
well,
so
there's nowhere to hang. Never, but it was never a big deal.
But so I guess as a fan, Chew, and you can tell me, like, the first one you want, like, for the Lions winning this division, again, it was the first time in 30 years they won the division. I feel like that's a big deal. Like, from now on, sure. Now you can't, because I remember when you guys won the division in 1995. You guys won the division for the first time in God knows how long in 1995. And that was a huge deal. Like, yeah, as a fan, I remember that being, like, a big deal, because it had been forever since you guys won the division. Now, didn't care about the division in 96, didn't care about it in 97, really haven't cared about it much since 1995, but that first one you win in a long time, like, I feel like that means something to the fan base. I don't know how you guys felt as players in 95, but
you remember the play, Gabe?
Well, of course I remember the play.
I mean, that went from, oh my God, I can't, to, hey, we won the division.
It
can't
was
be thinking.
Last game of the season, you guys were playing Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And you guys were up. Steelers drove down the field, and on fourth and goal, Yancey Thigpen could not have been more wide open in the end zone, and he just inexplicably dropped it.
Yes.
And you guys won the game and won the division and got to host the, you know, you hosted the Falcons the next week. But I remember, like, that was the one hat. I mean, I still have a ton of hats today, but, like, as a, you know, that, so what, 95, I think it was in fifth grade?
Yeah.
Fourth grade, fifth grade, something like that. And I remember having that hat. I remember the 1995 NFC Central Division Champions hat that I had, because it was such a big deal that you guys won.
And that was the year, I believe, we beat San Francisco.
It was.
Out
yep.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we beat Atlanta
yep.
in the first round of the playoffs, and then went to San Fran, where no one was giving us a shot, and walked out of there with a victory.
So, yeah. So for Detroit, like I do not know if they continue to celebrate division championships going forward, like after you win that first one, now you've arrived. You're at a different level. You're on a different playing, field. So you don't get to celebrate them going forward if you're Detroit. But the same thing with the Packers. I mean, it's been what now? I mean, they last won the division in 2001, so it's been 3 years. I mean, you still don't care about the division title right now.
Yeah.
Celebrating Jordan Love's first divisional title. I didn't celebrate Aaron Rodgers' first division title because the team and the expectations around you have already been set.
Do you like how he answered the second question, though?
I do.
It's not cocky?
I don't think so, because he was straight up asked the question, right? Do you think you can win the Super Bowl? I do. And it's different because we were talking about Sean McDermott earlier with the Buffalo Bills, where I don't know what the question was to him, but it's just different when you say it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So that means you think you're going to. That's not just, I think we can win the Super Bowl. If that was the question, McDermott goes, hey, I still think we can win a Super Bowl here. It's not a story. Like everybody, okay, yeah, I believe that. So him just answering a question, do you think you can win the Super Bowl? Gutekunst saying, I do think we can win a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
I don't think that's cocky. I think that's just a matter of fact. We were a quarter away from going to an NFC championship game a year ago. And once you get to that championship game, you're on the precipice of the Super Bowl. So yeah, I do think we can win a Super Bowl this year. I don't think that's out of the realm. I don't think that's cocky from him.
No, I don't either. I wonder if he was asked the question what he would have said before, the previous year, though, even though they had a chance, like you said, to get to the to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to find the line of cockiness because I'm looking at McDermott. I think McDermott's kind of hearing rumblings and footsteps of like, dude, you better get this done or you're out of here. So a lot of time these coaches say things like that out of fear and paranoia, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a different – Goody's like, yeah, that window is open, baby. We're going to be around for another 5-6 years before we have to reset this thing. So, no, I don't have a problem with what he said at all. I just think it came from two different places, Gabe.
Yeah, that's fair.
There was three other questions that Matt Schneidman mentioned here. It's about Anders Carlson is one. That's whatever. It's about a curve of getting better. So he's on notice. Can't be that bad. Jordan Love's extension. He's going to be seeing both Jordan's agents. But this one was interesting. Can Rashid Walker be left tackle one? Goody responded, I certainly think he's already shown that. Now, I thought he played great, and I was impressed with a seventh rounder and the lack of pressure from that side of the line.
Sure.
Are we sure he's proven he's LT1?
I don't think so, because Bill Huber also tweeting out that he was asked, that Goody was asked about Bakhtiari, and that there's no decision right now on Bakhtiari, partially because he doesn't have to make that decision yet. I don't think there's a big... So, for example, the Packers yesterday, I mean, it's not really worth talking about because it was one of the obvious moves they were going to do because he's under contract for a while. They converted a roster bonus into a signing bonus for Rashawn Gary. So that roster bonus would have kicked in on March 15th, and all $6.2 million of it would have been guaranteed. By converting it to a signing bonus, they can spread it out over the rest of his contract, so they open up just shy of $5 million under the cap this year. Bakhtiari doesn't have any sort of roster bonus or anything due, so they don't have to do anything with Bakhtiari until they feel they absolutely have to. Like, there's no, you got to do it by this date, because otherwise this money kicks in and that becomes guaranteed. There's none of that with David Bakhtiari during the offseason.
Yeah, but the decision's already made. You're not coming back under your current contract. That, right? That decision has been made.
I think that decision
is made. I wonder if they're just trying to get something for him. You think?
I think it's possible.
Yeah. The problem is...
Everyone knows he's getting cut if he doesn't restructure and take, an incentive-laden contract.
Yeah. I just don't know who's going to give up. Like... Could the Packers, say, get a sixth-round pick? But do teams want to pay him under the contract he's under? Like, would the Packers have to take some of that money on? Like, the trade doesn't seem that straightforward. I don't think there'd be, like, any idea of getting, like, a top four-round pick for David Bakhtiari at this point is not possible to me.
So, if a team were to trade for him, they would not be responsible for the restructure. They wouldn't be responsible for the signing bonus. So apparently there is a roster bonus. I did not think there was a roster bonus. That was last year it got converted into a signing bonus. So there's a $9.5 million roster bonus due on the 15th of March, according to Spotrac. So a team would be responsible for the roster bonus. They'd be responsible for a base salary. And those numbers would get you up over $20 million. So would a team be willing to take on David Bakhtiari for a one-year $20 million contract?
No.
I doubt it.
I was just thinking Goody might have something up his sleeve to zing the Jets, just to steer him in another direction. That's one more shot.
Sure.
But no one's going to take that on, Gabe.
No, I don't think so either. Now, if you didn't have to worry about the roster bonus, if it was just the base 10.7, I could see a team taking a risk and taking a flyer.
I also think Goody doesn't really have animosity towards the Jets with how well his season ended up. Like, he hasn't got to rub it in their face anymore. He won.
No. Yeah, he did win. But yeah. Nothing like that really one more good thing. But, I mean, in regards to Rasheed Wallace, I guess there is Walker. Wallace.
I mean, if Rasheed Wallace was coming in to play left tackle, I'd have concerns.
That was the basketball player.
Yeah, that was the ball don't lie guy, yeah.
Hey, look at Antonio Gates. Look at all these guys, all right?
He might be the first.
He may have some still left in the tank.
He might be the first left tackle to play with his back towards the line because he can just box guys out. Yeah.
Great rebounder.
But I guess
can you imagine you just show up and you're showing your butt to the defensive end the way you're lining up?
But I guess there is the fear of Yosh, because we all thought Yosh would potentially be that left tackle for the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah. And, well, obviously they knew something else, I guess, because they had the backup plan. But, I mean, you're always looking for depth, I would say, across that offensive line.
Yeah, sure.
And you're hoping. So, yeah, my guess is David Bakhtiari is just not back.
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah.
I just don't see it coming. The Greater Milwaukee Golf Show, presented by Old Fashioned Golf, returns Friday, March 1st through Sunday, March 3rd. New location, the Mosh Performance Center and Lux Golf Bays. The first 1,000 people each day get a free sleeve of golf balls. It's the Greater Milwaukee Golf Show coming up this Friday, March 1st through the 3rd at Mosh and Lux Golf Bays in Franklin with free parking. Visit royalgolfshows.com, R-O-Y-L-E, and save $5 on advance tickets. Or you could just be caller 5 right now, caller 5. And win two free tickets to the Greater Milwaukee Golf Show. 800-990-3776. Caller 5 wins two tickets to the Greater Milwaukee Golf Show, presented by Old Fashioned Golf.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Your next hangout spot is found right in Waukesha. Q Club Wisconsin is the perfect place to catch a game, play some games, and grab a drink. Bocce courts, dart boards, foosball tables, and of course, pool tables. 10 of them. Plus, the Q Club of Wisconsin has its best fish fries on Wednesdays and Friday nights, and you know they just pile it high. Check out the live music on Saturday and stop in for brunch every weekend starting at 9 a.m. It's all happening at the Q Club of Wisconsin on North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. Visit qclubwi.com or like them on Facebook.
It's up right now on our Twitter poll at JenGabeChewy. Make sure you follow us there. Make sure you check us out on our YouTube page as well. Follow ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. You can stream all your favorite shows with video. You can see the lovely background that Chewy has whenever he's in Florida. But do you agree with Chewy when he says it's not a matter of if or when the Green Bay Packers win a Super Bowl, but how many Super Bowls they win? Yes, Chewy is right, 46% of the vote. No, still a long way to go, 54%.
I'll take it. It's trending.
Again, I'm just surprised he went. I mean, it wasn't that long ago where you were trying to pump the brakes.
Right.
Now you went full toad today.
Well, what would you have said with Aaron 15 years ago? You would have said the same thing, right?
I was counting Super Bowls after the first one.
Yeah, I know. Counting.
Well, after the first one, yes.
Yeah.
I think I felt, again, it's revisionist history probably at this point, but I don't think after the first season I was like, oh yeah, baby, we're going to Super Bowl. Like, I think at that point we knew he was really good. After that Arizona playoff game, then I was if not when. And then they won the first one, and then you're counting them, right? Yeah. Because the trajectory was so high, and they just never made it back to one. It turns out it's actually hard to do.
Does that make me a toad?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Toad adjacent, I think. I'll take toad adjacent.
Yeah,
I think toad for a day.
Yeah, yeah, you're not full-blown toad, but you were a toad today.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah, you were a toad for a day.
More you can do.
We'll see if Chewie's a toad tomorrow. Who knows? Jen scheduled to return tomorrow as she gets back from her trip after some of the stuff that she's been working on for Big ESPN. More from Brian Gutekunst. I'm sure Jason and Tausch are going to break it all down on Wildy and Tausch. Coming up next here on 94.5 ESPN.